97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
I can't believe this goes back probably at this point more than a decade, but Sam Dotson was the police chief of the city of St. Louis. He left town for a while, is back as the dean of the George Herbert Walker School of Business and Technology at Webster University. He's going to join us at 3:30, kind of an update on what he's doing. And then, you know, we had another one of these teen takeovers, Fred, as you know, in the Bevo area.
It was a bad one.
But it was really bad. And, you know, by the time the cops get there, they're outmanned and there's a car that's on fire. You know, and obviously St. Louis not alone in these things that are happening across the country, but my goodness, another one. And look, these kids know this happened at 1 a.m. down in Bevo, and the kids know that the cops are outmanned and, you know, they go for it. And that's what happened again, unfortunately, this weekend. Cassie Smedley is with us, former RNC's press secretary, back on 97.1 FM Talk, and we have her on the Zoom this afternoon. We're trying this new video thing. Cassie, how are you? It's this new thing where you can see people and they talk and you can hear them at the same time. Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you doing?
Hello, this newfangled technology.
Right.
What a time.
You look spectacular. I have to kind of cheat a little bit. I have to look to my right to see you, and then I have to fake people out and act like I'm looking at you in the camera, just like when I was a TV anchor. So nothing like hearkening back to those days from many decades ago. Hey, by the way, we kind of get punished, you and I, as NFL fans, because the Chiefs don't play till next Monday night.
I know. And actually, we get punished, right, because we don't get to participate in the big first weekend stuff. But the Monday night game, it's against the Broncos, which
it's
in Kansas
be great.
City,
you know, oh, yeah.
It should be great. They were so good last year. My oldest brother lives in Colorado now, and I'm like, you better not show up in a Broncos jersey. But the Broncos are actually good now.
Yeah, they
and
are.
So now I'm nervous because that used to always be a nice start to the season. You'd get a good Broncos win, you know, under your belt.
Absolutely. The Raiders and the Broncos rivalry, just outstanding. I remember that was when I first started going to Chiefs games, late 80s, early 90s. Those were the games that I was looking forward to most. All right, so let's talk some politics here. Here's Harry Enten on CNN talking about some poll numbers for the president.
Net approval rating on inflation. Trump is averaging 50 points underwater. That is 12 points worse than Joe Biden was averaging back in August of 2022. And the issue that got Donald Trump reelected to the White House and is still the number one issue in the minds of the American electorate, and he stuck 50 points underwater in a place that no other president has ever been before.
You know, Cassie, what caught my attention this morning as I was driving into work wasn't the $4 gas prices that everyone's paying for unleaded, because we've had those for a few days, but I looked at the price of diesel, and it's sitting at $6 right now in Missouri. And as you know, that's going to affect everything, the price of diesel. So I do think that there is an inflation, you know, I don't know if he's making the same mistake that Joe Biden made, but with gas prices in and of themselves, with the situation in Iran, by the way, we have more activity this afternoon. There's some bombing that is happening near Karg Island. But is the president at his great peril kind of ignoring the inflation issue right now or not?
I don't think ignoring, because that's one of the things that Harry Enten's polling does not take into consideration, is that the frustration is that Joe Biden had all of these big far left liberal policies, his greeny policies designed as an infrastructure bill or disguised as an infrastructure bill. And then when people were saying, hello, we're being bothered out here, this is not good, he said, who are you going to believe, me or your lion eyes? You know, the Bill Clinton adage. President Trump, J.D. Vance just recently acknowledged this in his comments last week, they've acknowledged that this is a temporary issue because they are getting at issues that no one before them has been willing to tackle, like peace in the Middle East, making sure Iran has not have a nuclear weapon, but even with the tariffs, which I'm not going to be a sycophant for the president here. I'm not sure how I feel about tariffs, but I do completely believe and agree that for generations, my entire lifetime for sure, we have watched other countries take advantage of our generosity. We've watched jobs and industries get offshored and hollowing out opportunities for my generation. And he's the only president in my lifetime, and arguably both of our lifetimes, I think we're about the same age, that has been willing to do the hard things to reshore the American supply chain. That's a long-term benefit. And yeah, it's a big argument to make to the American people to say, it's going to be worth it. Hang on. This isn't just for some big government program. This is actually about making America great again. But they've got to be headstrong about that. And looking at this convention the next couple of days, I think that's going to be central to the messaging of what you're getting here is the opportunity for America to be greater again. To Be Great Again, and they're making that directly to the American people in prime time.
So, Cassie, you mentioned there is the event in Dallas. This is kind of like a midterm convention in the heart of a state that's going to be at the forefront of the, you know, the Senate battle here with the Tallarico and the Ken Paxton race. Now, we keep seeing, you know, and I keep hearing the same narrative that we heard with Beto O'Rourke. There's other people that are out there that are kind of warning as a cautionary tale. Even, you know, Ted Cruz is saying, look, be careful here, because this is a different time than when I ran against Beto O'Rourke. And, you know, even though some of the polling has been off for these primaries, Tallarico is running against a guy that's very flawed. So what other messaging you think is going to come out of Dallas this week?
Yeah, well, to be clear, one thing that was pointed out to me actually back in the primary with Cornyn versus Paxton, don't forget Ken Paxton has won statewide many times, more than John Cornyn, who is the senator, the sitting senator that he beat in the primary. So Texans know how they feel about Ken Paxton, and I would argue similar to how they feel about President Trump. They've taken into consideration the more controversial or unsavory pieces of his background, and they say, but if he's going to do work for me and my family and good work for us, then I can accept that full package. And so I think voters are smart. Voters in Texas know what they've got in Ken Paxton and know what he's been able to deliver as an AG, which he's been very good. And compare that to Tallarico. You don't know who he is. He's, from my account, from everything that I've heard, he's not telling us who he truly is. We don't know who he is. I think he was built by consultants, built by a political machine of what they think Texans might vote for in a Democrat. But he is as far left as they come. I think his weird obsession with transgender children, it's just strange that that's his like default answer. I think Texans are seeing that, and we'll see through that. So ultimately, I think Republicans will be fine and Ken Paxton will be the next senator from Texas. But it's a race on their hands. I'm glad to see that MAGA Inc. and the president in his political operation are very physically and literally monetarily coming in big for him now, because we need to make sure we keep Texas.
Yeah, look, in the end, I think he wins. In the end, I think Mike Rogers wins. But, you know, the media is going to have this narrative here, especially because, you know, let's face it, some of the polling is not very complimentary toward President Trump. The frustrating thing to me is I don't want people to forget all the good things. And I think that he's out there trying to remind people of that. But for me, Cassie, this is just me. If you take the war out of the mix here, or let's just say the aftermath of the 4 to 6 weeks, you know, the timetable that was set originally, I'm fine with everything that Trump's done outside of some of the sophomoric stuff that I wish he would, you know, quit doing that he's never going to stop doing. But the war has really kind of stuck in my craw here because we don't seem to have a way to get out of it. I'm all down with getting rid of nuclear weapons and making sure Iran can't have nuclear weapons. We've got a great, great American in Rocky Sickman from St. Louis, who was one of the original Iranian hostages. So we know this story very well in St. Louis, but I just don't think they have a good plan for an exit ramp here that's going to, you know, make the world or the American people happy. Now, again, we have new bombing today near Kargil Island, so maybe we get a different narrative in the couple of days that follow. But I think he's in big trouble here politically with this war.
I think you're right insofar as it's something that many Americans don't understand the benefit, because we are in the business of wanting instant gratification. And I had instant gratification with President Trump policies that got my gas down to $2.50 a gallon and lower in some places. So now I'm seeing that since this war, that has changed. So you tell me, and you're having to explain to me the long-term benefits. So let's just be very honest about that. Now, one thing I think is interesting, you know, I feel like every time we talk, I leave you with a date that's on my mind.
Okay.
And the date that's on my mind, except I'm blanking on the exact day, I think it's October 18th, is Israel's election. And I think, you know, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu's got a big race for himself, for his own political future. But there's a very interesting debate happening over there. I think I told you last time I was on, I was just over in Israel this summer and got to hear from literally all sides of their political spectrum. I think after that election, they're going to be able to go and do what they need and want to do over in the Middle East. I just feel like that's going to be a date where we're going to start to see some absolute things happen. And will that be enough time ahead of our own elections?
Yeah, we'll
but
have
again,
to see.
Having this midterm election or midterm convention this week, as people have gotten kids back in school, we're through summer vacations, people are finally actually starting to focus on November. Good time to have President Trump in prime time and have Republicans out there saying what we're for, and also putting on blast what the Democrats are offering, which is Al Sayed and Hassan Piker, and expect to hear a lot about the DSA movement.
Absolutely. Speaking of dates, I have to ask people this week, where were you on 9/11?
I was at St. Teresa's Academy in Kansas City, junior year American history class with Mr. Edgar. And I will never forget, it was on a radio. We were in the basement. We didn't have service for a TV. And he wrote on the chalkboard that morning in that hour, remember this name, Osama bin Laden.
Wow. Yeah,
pronounced it in that moment. Never forgot it. And I obviously lived through American history. And Peggy Noonan has a great column out recently about how it's not only never forget, it's our time to
I saw it last
story.
Week. Yeah, she was great. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Cassie, thanks so much for jumping on here with me this afternoon. By the way, God bless you for saying maybe that we were of similar age, but I'm old enough to be your father based on what you just told me where you were on 9/11. We'll just leave it at that. Thanks, Cassie. We'll see you. Take care.
Get more at 971talk.com.